Be back again, those who missed it. And today I want to continue with our series on Hilchos Birchas Kohanim. So last week we discussed together why it was that the practice among Ashkenazim is not to say Birchas Kohanim throughout the year other than Yontif. So this week I want to discuss the inyan of Birchas Kohanim that is pretty common in the house Friday night. Now, Leil Shabbos, the father in many homes, in my home, we give a bracha to our children. We give a bracha to our children, which is a beautiful minhag. I'll explain a little bit about where that minhag comes from, some ideas in psychology, some ideas in showing affection. But I want to talk about a halachic concern, a halachic problem with giving a bracha to one's children, if a person's not a kohen, that is. So let's take a look. I'm going to post the marmakamos here. Birchas Kohanim, we know it's mentioned two places in the Chumash. One is in Parshas Naso, and the other one is in Parsha Shmini. So if you take a look at the first Mar Makom, the Pasuk tells us, Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am. Am I muted now? Okay. Vayisa Aaron es yadav. And Aaron lifted his hand el ha'am. Vayivarchem vayyered me'asos ha'chatas va'ol l'vashlamim. So in order to give the bracha, Aaron raised his hands. He did nesias kapayim. And through that, he was able to somehow shower a bracha, the bracha of Birchas Kohanim, on the nation. So that's one of the sources of Birchas Kohanim. So there is a very interesting Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, where the Gemara describes some of the great attributes of the great Tzaddik, the great Rabbi Yossi. And you look at number two here, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Miyomai, all my days, Lo Avarti, Al Divrei Chaverai, never did I go against the word of my friend. Yodea ani ba'atzmi she'ein ani kohen. I know that I'm not a kohen. My father wasn't a kohen. My grandfather wasn't a kohen. I'm not a kohen. And yet, im omrim li chaverai, if my friends were to tell me, ole l'duchen, you should go up to the duchen, you should go up to the stand, to the platform, to the bima, and do birchas kohanim, ani ole, I would go up. I'm not a Kohen, but if my friends told me, I don't go against my friend. It's a certain expression of humility. That, okay, if they tell me to do it, I'll do it, whatever you tell me to do. So it sounds a very nice midah. The problem, Tosas points out in number three, that Tosas there on the spot, he says, Lo yada ri, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Bali Tosas, he doesn't know, ma isu yesh bezar, ha'olo duchen. What's the chiddush? So what? If I go up to the duchen, what's a great thing? If he told me to do something that was usur, if he told me to do something that's against the halacha, against the minag, okay, that's a very nice thing. But to go up to duchen with a kohanim, that's not a great thing. I would do the same thing. Well, that's a great attribute of Rabbi Yossi. What's wrong with the czar going up to duchen? So Tosa says maybe imlo mishum bracha levatala shel kohanim amr Torah levarches Israel to say the bracha. The Varechas Amo Yisrael to Ba'ava, to say the bracha of Birchas Kohanim, maybe that's the problem? Maybe? But Tosfos isn't really sure. Now, what's really strange about Tosfos is there's a very clear Gemara in Ksubis that says there's a problem for Zar. Zar is a non-Kohen. There's a problem for a non-Kohen to actually give the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. And that's what the Gemara tells us in number four here. I'll just take it out of context. The Gemara says, Nisias Kapayim. The bracha of Birchas Kohanim is Isser Aseh. There is an Isser Aseh. One violates an Isser Aseh if he's a czar, if he's not a Kohen. So unclear why Tosos ignored this Gemara. And Rashi brings the proof for this. Rashi says, number five, what's the Isser Aseh? It says, Kosevarchu Atem. The Pasuk in Asu. Kosevarchu Atem. You, the Kohanim, should give the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. Implying v'lo zar, but a non-kohen, a zar, is not allowed to give the bracha. So that's the chiddush. Rabbi Yossi says, even though I would violate an iser aseh, even though I'm a zar, if my friends tell me to do something, I'll listen. So that's the great humility, the great anivus of the Rabbi Yossi. But we see from here that a non-kohen cannot give the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. So Friday night, when I give my oldest two daughters, I have two girls, Batshevi Nochevet, I give them the bracha, so I say, Yisimei Chalokim, Kizar Rivka Racha V'leya, and then I say the bracha, Yivrach Hashem V'shem Racha, V'chulei. How can I give the bracha a birchas kohanim to my daughters, and then my sons come, yisimcha l'kim, kefrayim l'chimnasha, yivarech Hashem yishimrecha, and so on. I'm a czar. I'm a Levi, but I'm not a Kohen. How am I allowed to give a bracha to my children? And many have the custom, is brought down in the Machzor, that Erev Yom Kippur, to give a bracha as well to the children, a special bracha for the year, which could include also the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. So how can I do this? There's a clear Isra Aseh. Okay, fine. Tosfos wasn't so clear what the halacha is. He wasn't so clear what the Isra was, for whatever reason. But if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like this. Shulchan Aruch writes, in Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, Simen Kuf Chavches, Ein Nesias Kapayim, number 6, Ein Nesias Kapayim B'Pachos Me'asara. You need a minin. You can't do Birchas Kohanim without a minin. HaKohanim Me'a Minin, you count the Kohen as a part of the minin. And then the Ramah adds in parentheses, Ve'ein Lizar Lisa Kapav. A Zar, a non-Kohen, is not allowed to do Birchas Kohanim, afil im kohanim achim, even with other kohanim. So even if there are a few kohanim up on stage giving the bracha, I can join them on stage. I can join them on the bima. I can join them on the duchen. There's an iser. So there's an iser I say for any non-kohen to give brichas kohanim. So this calls into question: how in the world can we justify that fathers, maybe grandfathers, people in general, give brachas to children using and invoking the pesukim of Parshas Naso, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha? That's a blatant violation of the Torah. So if you look at number 7, the Be'er Halacha. The Be'er Halacha addresses this question, and he's going to provide for us a few different answers. The Be'er Halacha says, L'chora, reading just the bold in number 7, L'chora l'fizeh, at first glance, according to this, Yeshu t'moa al ha-minag ha-olam. We could question the practice that's very prevalent, Shinoagin l'varech echad l'chaveiro, that one gives a bracha to someone else, and I'll add, when a father gives a bracha to the children Friday night, how is that allowed? How can you do this? There's an iser atem velozarim. How are we going to justify this? So, the Be'er Halacha ends up giving 3 different answers. So, we know throughout the Torah, there's something called mitzos tzrichas kavanah, and mitzvahs eina tzrichas kavana. So that's a machlokis in general, whether you need to have kavana to fulfill a mitzvah, or you don't have to have kavana. We paskin that a mitzvah deraisa requires kavana, mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, and a mitzvah midirabanan does not require. Now, lichachila, one should always have kavana, but if one did not have kavana for a mitzvah midirabanan, you don't have to repeat it. But if one did not have kavana for a mitzvah deraisa, one must repeat the mitzvah. There is, the Bach points out, there are 3 mitzvah deraisas actually that not only require kavana. Kavana means I have intent, l'shem mitzvah. That's all. Very simple kavana. I'm doing this, I'm shaking the lulav for the mitzvah. The Bach said that there are 3 mitzvahs that you not only have to have kavana, but you also have to know the reason, the tam, the reason why we do the mitzvah. It says in 3 places in the mitzvahs in the Torah, l'man. It says the word l'man by the mitzvah of sukkah, l'man yedu dor seichem. You have to know why you sit in the sukkah. It's brought down by Mishnah Berurah. So with sukkah, so before you sit in the sukkah, you should say, why am I sitting in the sukkah? I'm sitting in the sukkah because either to remember that the Anani HaKavod, or to remember sukkah's mamish, that they actually sat in sukkahs in the midbar. So that's one mitzvah you need to know the reason behind it. A second mitzvah, it says by tzitzis, and it says by tefillin, l'man as well. You have to know why we wear tzitzis. You have to know why we wear tefillin. Those are 3 exceptions where you need to know the reason. Outside of those, you don't need to know the reason, but you certainly need kavana to be yotzei mitzvah deraisa. So that background, the Be'er Halacha explains. So how am I able to give a bracha to my children Friday night? So he says, v'im kein, look at that line there, im kein yesh raya, miminaga olam, the kaimelon mitzvos tzrichos kavana. If I want to be yo to the mitzvah of birchas kohanim, I need to have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of birchas kohanim. When I give my children brachas Friday night, I do not have intention on being yo to the mitzvah, and since I don't have intention, I'm not violating the iser, because since birchas kohanim is a mitzvah deraisa, it's only going to be violation for a zar if I have kavana. But I don't have kavana for the mitzvah. I have kavana to give a bracha, but I don't have a kavana to be yotze the mitzvah, and therefore that would justify why one is allowed to actually give a bracha to the children Friday night. That's the first explanation. The second explanation, says the Be'er Halacha, ulai, the next line, yesh lomar de tam haminag mishum desfir le kabach Didafka the priestess Yadayim over Hazar Base. A essential part of Birchas Kohanim is not saying the word, but it's actually spreading your hands over the children. When the Kohanim put their hands out, and the Gemara tells us that the Shechina is Shora, it rests upon the fingers, you need to do Priestess Yadayim. So Priestess Yadayim, if the father doesn't do Priestess Yadayim, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah, and he would not be in violation of Hazar giving Birchas Kohanim. So the problem is, many fathers, when they give the bracha, they actually do put their hands on the head of the child. So maybe that would be a fulfillment of the bracha Birchas Kohanim. Only if the father stands there, maybe the hands by his side, and just says the bracha, says the psukim, that would not be a violation. But if he uses his hands, which many do, myself included, that would not justify the minhag, because there is Priestess Yadayim. But that's the second answer for those who do not put the hands on the heads of their children. The third justification, says the Be'er Halacha, is Inami, Dechevan Detiknu Rabbanam Shelolisa Kapayim Belotfila. The Rabbanan made a takana that you should only do Birchas Kohanim in the context of Tfila, in the context of Shemona Esrei. Shuv, therefore, Mi Shomer Psukim Elu Shabirchas Kohanim Belotfila. A person who recites a Psukim outside the context of Tfila on a Friday night, whether Bein B'Kohen, whether he's a Kohen Yisrael, it's K'mechavein B'Ferich, it's as if there's some explicit kavana that you don't want to be Shelo L'Kayim B'Zeh Mitzvah, the Birchas Kohanim. Meaning, there's something that's called negative kavana. I could, do a mitzvah, a lulav, and say, I don't want to be owed to the mitzvah, and I won't be. I could have a negative kavana. So, by me saying the Psukim of Birchas Kohanim, and it's not in the context of Tfilah, that's in essence me saying, B'kavana, I don't want to get the mitzvah. I'm just giving a bracha. I'm just saying psukim. So these are three justifications of the Be'er Halacha why it would in fact be allowed to give a bracha Friday night. Just to recap quickly before we go to the next piece here. Either you need kavana to be yotzi the mitzvah and there's no kavana, or it's as if you have negative kavana. You're dafka having kavana that you don't want to be yotzi. Or thirdly, I'm just going out of order, that if you don't use your hands, then one cannot be owed to the mitzvah, in which case, one would also not be in violation of the Isser. So how do we pass, what would one suggest? Can you use your hands in order to give a bracha to your children? I do. Is that something that's appropriate? So take a look what the Torah Tamimah writes, in number 8 here. The Torah Tamimah says, in reading just the bold, Vani shamati, I heard, me'ish emunim, from a trustworthy person, Shagra mivilna, Hagon Rabbeinu Eliyahu mivilna, the Vilna Gon. Baruch, it's a Gon, I'm not sure exactly who it was, Landau, Mori Tadik the Vilna, he gave a bracha to a great Rav, the Shas Chupaso. When the young Rav was getting married, the Vilna Gon gave him a bracha. Viniach Yodo Achas Al Harosh, she only placed one hand on the head of this great Tzaddik, Vishas HaBracha. Vishalu Akacha, everyone started asking the Gra why you use one hand. The practice was to always put both hands when giving a bracha, either under the chuppah or to the children. Why was he using just one hand? Kilomatzinu bracha b'sheyadayim rak l'kohanim b'mikdash. So he said, because we only find that the Kohan in the base of Mikdash use both hands, as we start off with, that Aaron used yod of both of his hands. But outside the base of Mikdash, we don't use two hands, we only use one hand. That's the understanding. And therefore, he said, you should only use one hand. So should one use one hand? Is that the best practice? The Gra used only one hand. So take a look at Rav Sternbach. When Sternbach writes in Tshuvos Hanhagos, in the fifth volume, Simen Ein Beis, he writes, regarding Bracha Lebanim B'Leil Shabbos. He says, Yesh Nogim, there are those who have the practice, Levarich HaSabanim V'Abanos B'Leil Shabbos. This is a very nice practice. And I'll explain why it's a nice practice. I actually grew up, my father did not give me brachas growing up. He did not give my siblings brachas. That just wasn't the practice that he had. I incorporated when I got married and had children. I'll explain what was the motivation for it. But there are those, many have the practice to give brachas to their children. U'menichan shtei yadayim arosham kein smicha. They put both hands on top of the child like smicha. Smicha would be in the times of Yeshua Benun, when Moshe Benu gave smicha to Yeshua. He placed both of his hands on Yeshua, infusing him, empowering him with some level of Kedusha and leadership. So he's smicha. There's also smicha on a cow and a carbon. You place both hands on the head. So people put both hands on the head of the child to give a bracha. Is that something that's acceptable? So the Shuras Hanhagas goes on to explain here, quotes from the Siddur Yabet of Yaakov Emden. And he says, Kore es mevarachim b'yad echad levad, I refer to those who only use one hand for the bracha as chasei das, those lacking knowledge. Meaning, what does that mean? Hasod b'shtei adayim dafka. To infuse a bracha, you need two hands. You need both hands. Somehow the right hand, the left hand, will get maybe some deep understanding. The bracha only works with two hands. One hand, that's a joke. A person like that is chasei das, lacking awareness, lacking knowledge. So if Yaakov Emden was against using one hand, he felt it would only work with both hands. However, aval, reading further in the bold, gam b'siddur harizal, b'seder leil Shabbos, kas of the Rizal writes, Shein levarich ela b'yad achas u'b'yamin. You should in fact only use one hand, and it should be the right hand, and that's chen shekein da, kevin shekein das hagra v'arizal. We saw the gra earlier. Roy lachshos, it's worthy to be concerned of this position. Ulevarich kein, only to use one hand. Af, he writes, one hand. Af k'tumani the yesh har b'shenagu b'sheyadayim. Even though many had the practice to use two hands, Rav Shermach advised that one use one hand based on what we said above. So yesh v'yesh, but again, those who want to, it seems worthwhile to use one hand if you have that ability. So let's understand for a moment. So we certainly can justify, we just have justified why the practice is to give a bracha to the children Friday night, why it makes sense. There's no isser in doing so. And we discuss whether one should use one hand or two hands. Let's discuss for a moment the depth of this bracha of Birchas Kohanim. So firstly, when I was in YU, in Smicha, I'm going to turn off the share screen just for a moment so I can see you while I go through this a little bit. So when I was in YU taking the Smicha classes on Friday, we used to take special classes, psychology classes and speaking classes. So there's one class with Dr. Pelkovitz, which was my favorite class. I had no exposure in any level of education in psychology. Psychology is certainly something very, very essential for being a Rav and for being just a human being. It helps understanding people, situations, sensitivities. And I've gained so much from that class, and I still utilize if I need to in a certain circumstance. One thing that spoke to me a lot, I remember he discussed the importance of showing love and showing affection to one's children. And he was saying that his own experience Friday night, he was kind of making fun of the Yekis, how they never show any affection or rarely, and very little physical ways of expressing love. And rarely will you see a father kiss a child, maybe under the chuppah, maybe that's it. And it's very important, I speak about this a lot, that there are really five languages of love. Maybe you've heard this before, but it's a very important idea in psychology. There are five ways to express love. And it's true in one's relationship in a marriage. It's true as well in a different way to children. It's true in every relationship. In my house, my wife and I are always trying to work on the children, the sibling relationships, and there shouldn't be so much fighting, and they get along with each other. So we actually just recently implemented five languages of love for our family, and each week we focus on a different mode here. So what do I mean? What are the five ways to express love? So one way is to give compliments. To compliment your wife, compliment your husband, compliment your children, compliment siblings. So one of the things we actually did last week in my house was everyone had to write on a piece of paper and hang up all over the house different compliments. So wherever you walked around in the house, there was like a thank you. There was like, so nice, so beautiful, so this, so that. And the house was just full of signs of compliment. That was one week. That was a project. So that's one way to express love. Another way to express love and affection is through services, through helping out. By helping, if you're the husband, taking out the garbage, helping cooking, helping washing dishes. Being a partner in running the household. This third way to express love is by spending time with each other. I always tell people, chas and kala, they get married, so they spend many, many dates with each other. And I say, you know what? When you get married, you should continue to take your wife out on a date. Take her out to dinner from time to time. Take her out to mini golf. Take her out to wherever you like to go. you should still continue going out with her, even when you get married. Obviously, life gets busy, but spending time. So this week, for the family, what we did was we worked on spending time with each other. So I chose that we have six kids, Knaihara, so we had different matches. And on Shabbos afternoon, they each had to walk around the block, just two of the siblings together, and they walked around each of them separately, so they had to schmooze with each other for a good 15, 20 minutes. And the week, we're promoting spending time with each other. Another way is to give gifts. To give gifts, to give presents, buy flowers, buy anniversary, birthday presents. These are all ways to, again, express love to one's spouse, to one's children, or even to a friend. And the fifth and final way is to show love through a physical way. Now, obviously, that manifests its way differently with a spouse, with the children, with the friends and siblings, but physical touch is very, very important. Very, very important even for children. Children need to feel the physical touch from their parents, a kiss, a hug, even just touching the skin, feeling that touch of the skin of their mom or their father, it gives a lot. And with this background, Dr. Pelkovitz explained that it's so important when you build this as from a psychological perspective. You build this into at least a guaranteed, you know, it's sad that you have to, you know, build it in. It should be more natural. But we have to be trained that every Friday night, you guarantee that you're going to touch your children, touch them on the head, and give them a kiss with a bracha. That guarantees there's going to be at least that physical affection once a week, and it should be more as well. And he said it's also very cute because he was describing his children. This goes back maybe 18 years or so when I was in Smicha. And it goes back, he said it was so cute because like each child, you know, reacted to the bracha differently. Some were like very rigid, some were a little bit wild. It was just like a cute way to see their personalities come up, how they were the recipient of a bracha. But he said it was so special. It's a special thing to have within the family, he felt. You know, it's brought down by the Taz that Friday night the kids would go and like give the mom a kiss, you know, on the hand, you know, saying thank you for preparing for Shabbos. So these are things that are part of the family dynamic, and it's very, very important. I read once in Dr. Lawrence Kellerman's book. He has a book, To Kindle a Soul, a beautiful book about raising children. And he speaks about this element of affection. And there was a study by Dr. Mary Ainsworth in the University of Virginia, and they observed that the children that came from Uganda were very cold, very unaffectionate individuals. And they tried figuring out why this was. And after a lot of observation, it became clear that the mothers in Uganda apparently don't kiss and hug their children. It wasn't done. That wasn't part of their culture. And that developed children with very cold personalities. You know, I know now that you know, when mothers give birth, maybe it's each hospital is different, but up in New York, they're very, very mocked with the nurses that the moment the child is born, they lie them down on the chest of the mother and, you know, swaddle them and hug them so they can feel skin to skin to really, right at a birth, to sense the mom, to sense the child, to have that physical connection. So these are studies about the importance of it. So in addition to the Kedusha that's there, there's a psychological element. There's the raising of children, which is so important. And for grandchildren as well, I think it's a beautiful thing for a grandfather to give a grandchild the bracha. I think it's such a sweet thing to make sure there's a hug and to make sure there's a kiss and the hands over the head. That's beautiful outside of the halacha. But let's go a little bit deeper. We have 5 minutes left with each other about just the koach of bracha in general. How do we understand brachas? What exactly is a bracha? And there's a maisa with Rav Yashar. Rav Yashar was zocha to be the sandik and many, many grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I think he even had great-great-grandchildren. He had like a thousand offspring that he left behind. Incredible. And he was once a sandik at his like great-great-great-grandchild. I don't know how many greats there were, but a lot of greats. And the Moel goes over to Rav Yashiv. Not that Rav Yashiv didn't know this already. The sandik kind of said jokingly to Rav Yashiv, you know, it's a big segula if you're a sandik at your great-great-grandchild's bris. It's a segula to get into Olam Haba. So obviously he didn't need all that, but Rav Yashiv's response was, I've been working my whole life to go in through the front door. I don't need to go through the back door. He wasn't looking for segulas. He wasn't looking for brachas. He was working for hard, amelus, working on oneself. In the end of the day, what bracha does, it gives a person a little boost. But a bracha is simply helping a person reveal, uncover his hiddenmost talents, his hidden secrets. As a parent, as a grandparent, our job is to shower love, to shower bracha. But bracha isn't what I want for the child. A bracha is what is best for the child, trying to show his kochos. So as Dr. Pelkowitz said, each child had their own way of receiving the hands of the head, each way of connecting to their father. They have their own personalities, own path in life. And bracha is really bringing about the best from them. And the use of 10 hands, the 10 fingers, is something very, very interesting. Because, as parents, we put so much, and grandparents as well, we put so much into raising children, grandchildren. And sometimes we think that we're the ones doing it. It was all my upbringing. It was my thanks to me. I put so much effort. But we can't forget that this is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, he's the partner. And it's easy sometimes to forget, because things that we put so much effort into, it's hard to deny our input. It's hard to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we know there's a din that we bench when we have bread. Rav Soloveitchik wanted to know, why do we bench when we have bread? Why don't we bench when we have fruit? Why don't we bench when we have any other food? Why dafka bread? So bread is something unique, that there's a halacha, that when you say bracha motzi Friday night, you're supposed to put all 10 fingers on the bread. Why 10 fingers? What's the idea of all 10 fingers? Like the 10 fingers of Birchas Kohanim, the 10 fingers are the bread. So the idea is, Rav Soloveitchik explained, that when you eat fruit, when you eat an apple, there's very little involvement of man, of the farmer, to make that apple good. You plant an apple tree, and after some time, it grows to a tree, and there are apples, and you eat the apple. Very little that I did. Maybe a little watering here and there, maybe getting rid of the squirrels or whatever animals we have there, but very little. When you make bread, you have done everything from start to finish. You put the seeds in the ground, you harvest them, you separate them, you ground them, you knead them, you bake them. From beginning to end, 11 steps in the stage of making pras, making bread, was all you. You finally sit down after months of work and toil, and you take a bite into that bread, delicious bread, and what are you thinking? I worked so hard on this, with all 10 of my fingers, my entire body, all me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says you need to be put into check. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I allowed you. I gave you the ability. I gave you the potential to put that bracha into the bread. A bracha is a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to accomplish, allows us to be part of His world. So that's why we bench when we have bread. So when we bench our children, it's yes, we're doing a lot, we're putting a lot into it, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave each child, each neshama, a possibility to grow, to develop. And our responsibility as parents and children is to give a bracha. That bracha is not a segula. That bracha is not getting them into Gan Eden, into Olam Haba. What it's doing is it's showing them that you are special. Find your place in life. Find your makom. Find your path. Find your journey. And if you do so, you're going to be zocha to incredible, incredible brachas. So yes, we can justify the minhag to give a bracha Friday night. It's not a violation of an iser. Whether or not you use two hands, one hand, they're both justified. But have in mind, it's a little bit of a boost. It's a connection from father, from grandfather, to son and grandson, just to send them off on the right path, the path of bracha. So we should be zocha to see bracha in our own lives, bracha in our lives of our children, grandchildren, bracha both in ruchnius and gashmius. Great once again seeing everyone. Looking forward to seeing you guys, Mirtz Hashem, next week.
Thank you.